So I am Shannon Sweet from Cornell University, as just mentioned, and my research as a postdoctoral fellow focuses on agriculture and water resources in New York State, thinking about now and the future. And I was very lucky to begin my postdoc in August of 2016 at the peak of a really serious drought in the northeastern United States. So today I'm going to be talking specifically about how that drought impacted New York State agriculture and some of the implications for water resources. Got it. Okay. So to analyze the drought in New York, we took a three-pronged approach. First, we wanted to know just how severe was this drought. I'm sure as many of you know, maybe 20 years ago you had a drought and you've totally forgotten about it, and when you're in the thick of it, in 2016 for instance, farmers are like, this is the worst drought we've ever had in recorded history. Well, we wanted to look at that from an actual, like, realistic, academic, rigorous perspective. So we went back 60 years in the record and looked at meteorological data and stream flow data. Next, to get a sense of how agriculture was affected, we surveyed farmers across all of New York State, and we conducted follow-up interviews to see how they were impacted in terms of crop yield loss or economic impact, how they adapted or reacted to the drought. And finally, and importantly, we wanted to know, well, what does this mean for water resources now and into the future? And so we modeled agricultural crop water use in New York, because it's actually not really well reported, as opposed to states like New Mexico and California, where like every drop is accounted for. We know what farmers are using. In New York State, they don't have to really report their water use unless they're using over 100,000 gallons of water a day, which most small farms aren't. So we modeled it. For details, I'll give you a link to the manuscript that we've published with all of the methods and results in there. And then we looked at kind of average normal water use versus what could we expect in a drought dry year like 2016. Okay, so first the historical perspective. On all of these figures, the black lines are the 60-year average, so 1955 to 2015. The gray lines are either the lowest 10th percentile of that 60-year period for snowfall or rainfall, and then the upper 90th percentile for temperature. So how low did we get or how hot did we get? And then the red lines are 2016, the year of the drought. So you can see snowfall throughout the snow season, November, December, January, February, was below average for the entire season, dipping below that lowest 10th percentile in December and March. So really low snowpack going into the spring of 2016. Similarly, rainfall was well below average, with the exception of August, when we had this little peak in rain, but that was too little too late for the farmers. And temperatures were above average for the entire growing season in 2016, reaching record highs in August and September. And so all of those factors combined led to record low stream flows throughout the entire growing season. So the red line, 2016, again, you can see either at or below that lowest 10th percentile for the growing season. And that's indicative not only of depleted ground surface waters, but also, or not surface water, but also groundwater supplies, which farmers are using both of for irrigation in New York. Okay, and I'll also point out, this is not the historical perspective, this is just what was going on in 2016. According to the Drought Monitor, the drought did definitely get progressively worse throughout the growing season in New York State. So May, June, July, August, September 2016. And the Drought Monitor is really cool if you don't know about it. There's the link. They take into account much more than just meteorological data. They actually take in subjective opinions and objective opinions and talk to people on the ground and how they're being affected. So you can see specifically in Western New York also, Central Western New York, the drought was really severe or extreme by the end of the summer. And that is important because this figure showing where the agriculture is located in New York, you can see it's really dense in Central and Western New York. So sort of on that side near the Finger Lakes where I'm located, we have most of our agriculture. That's all agriculture, field, pasture, vegetable, fruit crops, everything that we grow. And then the dots on this show all of the counties where we had respondents to our farmer survey. So we had really good representation across the state, I think, particularly in the counties where there is a lot of agriculture. We had about 300 farmers respond in August and September, pretty good response rate. And then we conducted follow-up interviews as well with those farmers in January and February of 2017. Okay, so now for the cool data. This is the crop loss that farmers reported in the original surveys in just Western New York. If you want more details, again, I'll share some publications at the very end of this that show all parts of the state. So in this figure, we're looking at the estimated crop yield loss on the x-axis. So did the farmer lose 0 to 10% of their crop, 11 to 30%, so on. And in the y-axis, it's the percent of farmers that estimated losses within that range. So for instance, all of the irrigated crops, which are the striped purple bars, farmers, over 50% of farmers said they lost only 0 to 10%. And so that's actually kind of a typical year loss, not so bad. Now, if we look at the rain-fed crops, which are the solid black bars, over two-thirds of the farmers said they lost over 30% of their crop. And if you look at the 70 to 90 or above 90% loss, you can see about 30% of the farmers are losing over 70% of their crop in 2016, so pretty severe. We also asked them to rate the economic impact. And again, this is just for Western New York, but over 80% of the farmers said the impact was either moderate or severe. And only 1% said it was merely a nuisance with almost no economic impact. So we also asked farmers, well, what was it that really limited your ability to maintain yields in this really extremely dry year? And you can see 70% of the farmers, not surprisingly, said irrigation equipment and water supply. A lot of farmers don't irrigate in New York at all, and those that do usually only have enough equipment to irrigate a portion of their farm, and so they're having to rotate the equipment throughout their farm, and they would have to just abandon fields eventually in 2016 because they couldn't make it back to that portion of their farm in time. And then in follow-up interviews, we asked farmers, okay, so what did you do in real time during the drought when you were realizing this was really getting bad and it was not going to rain? How did you adapt to those conditions? And 16% said they went out and invested in irrigation equipment. Another 16% said they invested in water supplies. So they, in 2016, during the drought, drilled wells or dug ponds because their ponds and wells had gone completely dry. Another 7% changed their irrigation management. So maybe they irrigated at less ideal times, again, because they're rotating their equipment. And another 7% just created makeshift watering systems with whatever they had laying around. So hoses, watering cans. I had a couple farmers tell me they used their fertilizer or chemical sprayers to go out and irrigate their fields. So we also asked farmers, well, did what you experienced in 2016 change your perspective on future drought? And you can see over half of the farmers said yes. So not only are they adapting in real time to what's going on in a relatively humid, water-rich state like New York, but they're starting to think about the future and the future potential for more droughts. And with that, we also said, okay, so what are you planning on doing in the future? Not what did you do in 2016, but maybe what are you going to do in 2017 or in the near future, if you're thinking that future droughts are going to occur more frequently. And you can see 26% said, well, I'm going to invest in water sources, so ponds and wells and so on, or change irrigation scheduling, or invest in irrigation equipment. And since we are in the soil section, I did want to point out that 32% of the farmers said they're going to try to increase their organic matter in their soil to address future droughts. So that was kind of cool. Okay, so before I get into the water modeling, I want to point out that historically, in many parts of New York, summer rainfall already doesn't meet crop water demand, and I'm sure this is the case for a lot of other humid regions in the eastern United States and globally. So this figure is showing precipitation, the blue line, and potential evapotranspiration for one city in New York, and you can see in the summer there's this period where there's a water deficit and irrigation would be beneficial, and that's why there are some farmers that irrigate in New York State if you're growing a cash crop, for instance. So with that in mind, knowing that there's already a potential for irrigation and improving your crop yield, if we think about climate change, and again I'm talking just about New York, but this could be scaled up to any humid region that has a lot of agriculture throughout the world. We see that in the coming decades, the freeze-free season length is going to get maybe 20 to 30 days longer. And in the summer, temperatures are expected to increase anywhere from 3 to 6 degrees Fahrenheit. And precipitation, again, in the coming decades, is likely going to increase anywhere from 3 to 9% in New York State. So longer, hotter growing seasons are going to increase water demand, which we already know there is a water deficit. Combine that with less precipitation, and we're probably going to see more irrigation. And that's where our modeling comes into play. So on the left, you're looking at this sort of average year crop irrigation water use. Again, for all of the details and the methods, I'll give you a link to the manuscript at the end of this. But you can see most of the counties throughout the entire growing season, according to our model, are only using maybe 10 to 100,000 cubic meters of water for a whole growing season, with the exception of a few counties. And then if you look at a dry year, like 2016, that water use could increase eightfold across the state. In some counties, we found it increased 17 to 23 times. And that means billions of extra gallons of water being used, or tens of millions of extra cubic meters of water being used in one single growing season. So in conclusion, with climate change, which is fairly uncertain, as the last presentation mentioned, we don't know if it's going to be the same amount of precipitation and just coming more in winter and less in summer. We don't totally know if it's going to be the same amount of precipitation and just come in heavy rainfall events. Essentially, there's just going to be more uncertainty and more variability when and where and how much is coming. And so farmers are likely going to adapt by increasing their irrigation infrastructure and making themselves more resilient. And we already saw this happen in 2016. They reacted in real time, and they're planning on doing so in the future. And so that's going to increase ag water use, and that's going to either maintain or maybe even increase productivity. And farmers maybe from other regions, like New Mexico or the western or midwestern states where water resources are even less certain, could come to New York because we're increasing our productivity, and that's just going to increase this resource competition, and not just in the agricultural sector, but across all of the water use sectors, and that feeds right back into that variability and uncertainty. So the final thought I will leave you with is, given the economic necessity for irrigation to maintain crop yields, even in humid regions, fairly water-rich regions like New York, and even in these normal years when there is a summer water deficit, resource managers need to start thinking about climate change, climate uncertainty, and increased irrigation water use, even in these historically humid regions. Basically, humid regions, water-rich regions, are going to face a different set of problems and issues with climate change. So the question I'm going to keep addressing is, how do we protect these water resources and agriculture? Because both are really important in a state like New York. All right, and this is the slide I will leave up for you to stare at. I also am recording this, so you can always have access or ask me for any information later, but these publications on the top are all Cornell Cooperative Extension or the Institute for Climate Smart Solutions, just gray literature publications with survey results. And the lower publication will be coming out in December in Agriculture and Forest Meteorology. And it already is published online, and that is the link. So you can get tons more detail about what I just breezed through. And with that, I think we have
1 minute for questions. 1 minute for questions. Probably one long or two short.
Yes. Again, because this was such a short presentation, I combined like all rain-fed, all irrigated crops. But in the publications, we did separate kind of generically fruit, vegetable, field, pasture. All field and pasture crops in New York State are rain-fed. There is no irrigation on field corn or field soybeans or any field crops. But yeah, we separated. We do have all the individual crops as well, brassicas and. But that was too much to put in one publication. But yeah, if you want to learn more about that, we'll be there.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And grab her after so we can keep rolling.
Thank
Sorry.
You.